So this passage from Hebrews insisting on the necessity of faith and the faith that precisely does not know what is coming, but lives in expectation of what is coming. What is it that you believe in? We believe in, and we say we believe in the God of Jesus. I think Martin Luther King put it very well when he said in one of his speeches, "The moral arc of the universe is long, but it tends toward justice." Now, if we just look around at the world, that seems fairly implausible assertion, it seems to me. I mean, our world, just as the world of Jesus, is hardly marked by the prevalence of justice in among us. But to believe in God is precisely to believe that justice will be done to all of us. That's the kingdom of God, that everybody will live openly with each other, freely with each other, in a way we certainly do not do today and never have done. But that's the very essence of faith. You know? So often, I keep thinking of Freud's criticism of religion in that famous little book, The Future of an Illusion. He says that people are religious because they're constantly seeking the super daddy that they lost when they were little kids. I fall down, bruise my knee, and daddy's going to come and pick me up and dust me off. And I know in myself the tendency is to precisely substitute that kind of God for the God of Jesus. The God who's going to save me from the wear and tear of life, the inevitable wear and tear of life, which everybody endures. But that's not the God of Jesus. That's why we have over and over this insistence on attentiveness to the left outs. The heart of Jesus' message, the kingdom of God, where nobody is left out, where nobody is left out. And so to believe is to believe, as I said with Dr. King, that the moral arc of the universe is long, but it does tend toward justice. It does mean that we will all be restored to each other. Astonishing phrase of Paul, that we will recognize that we are members of each other. We are members of each other. And that's why it's within that context, it's all this talk in this passage from Matthew, which is kind of a collection of disparate sayings, but which has sort of a common point. You have to be ready. You have to live in expectation of that kind of fulfillment. You have to live in expectation of that kind of God who will come and do justice to us. You notice that it's very clear in the parable that the people who don't expect the kingdom to come, that justice to be fulfilled, you go around messing people up, violating people, beating people, the men, the women, using the earth's good for his own benefit and forgiving everybody else. Well, that's where we're supposed to be, folks. That we live in this state of unfulfillment, conscious unfulfillment, and that's the clue, I think. Because I get up every morning and the world looks the same, and not much has changed. Well, there are horrors like the killing of those 10 medical people in Afghanistan yesterday, which it really does strike me as particularly horrific. These people who spent their lives working for these people, and then the Taliban surrounds them and shoots them. And that's a news item, and not that anomalous a news item either. But to believe is precisely to resist the temptation to believe that that's business as usual, and that's the way ultimately we're going to end up. Trusting ourselves to the murderous hands of unknown enemies. No, to believe is to be ready for the Master who comes back, who is, in fact, interested in our being with each other. Above all, in our being attentive to the people that nobody's attentive to. That's who God is. That's who the God of Jesus is. And so we're called to basically a life of dissatisfaction, of discomfort. Holy insecurity is a wonderful phrase that Martin Buber came up with. A life of holy insecurity. Where our security is not in ourselves or in our own devices or political or economic or social or educational systems, but in this God who will, in fact, do justice to all of us.